Lee versus Thahell and Lee. Sorry.
Good morning. May it please the court. Jeff Fairchild representing the Lee Family Dental Entities. And I'd like to reserve 2 minutes if I can. Lee Family Dental filed this action to invalidate a lengthy service agreement, the one that gives, they hold, direct financial stake and operational control of his practice in violation of Washington law. We sadly don't have time to go through all 37 pages, but a theme can quickly arise when you look through the documents, starting with the financial side of it. The service agreement awards Thahell what's called a service fee of $120,000. It awards him 50% of the net proceeds of any sale of the practice. He's entitled to monthly production bonuses based on the practice's revenue. He is given a 40-year...
We know the facts.
Okay. And it goes on and on and on. And the fact is, when you look at this document, the entire purpose of the document is to give Mr. Thahell the impermissible role in the practice. And the provisions pale in comparison into contracts that courts have struck down, beginning with Boren, continuing in Gorbanian, and most recently, the Western District, when it looked at the Worth Alliance contracts. It's not close. When we look at the law, we begin with the statute. The statute is 18.32675, which prohibits a corporation from practicing dentistry, which specifically includes owning, maintaining, or operating an office. It's not limited to hands and mouth dentistry, as this court is aware. Mr. Thahell certainly doesn't like the idea of the statute, has implied that it's antiquated, but the reality is that the statute has not, the legislature hasn't looked at the statute since 2003 and only then made a minor amendment to the law. So he's alone in his opposition to the statute, or at least he's in the wrong building to voice that type of complaint. We have a series of cases that I mentioned, 60 years of cases in the state upholding the statute and striking down as illegal contracts that are far less expansive and aggressive than the contract in place. Boren, two non-dentists sell a practice to a dentist. They stay on board as employees. They're entitled to these vague bonuses based on production. That's struck down. Garbonian, it's a Sunrise Dental practice. We have the non-dentist receiving 50% of the proceeds of the practice disguised as rent. We have the non-dentist involved in capital decisions of the practice. That is struck down. And, of course, we have the Western District most recently having no problem striking down on summary judgment a less aggressive Orth Alliance contract where the legal entity, where the Orth Alliance business was to receive 17% of income in exchange for performing a range of services for the company that, again, pale in comparison to what Thahell gives himself responsibility for. Now, Thahell attempts to salvage his contract in really two ways. Thahell first points out and highlights the fact that his service agreement has several savings clauses, several severance provisions that would allow the court to snip parts, offensive provisions from the agreement and wind up with, at the end of the day, a legal document. There are several problems with that argument, the first of which is that in Washington, an illegal contract is void ab initio. It's as if a contract did not exist. And if that's the case, you can't use a severance clause in the contract to save the illegal document. That's the same argument that Worth Alliance made and that Judge Kuhnhauer had no difficulty dismissing on summary judgment. The second problem with the severance argument is that we're dealing with not just isolated clauses that are a problem. If you look through the entire document, what it does is establish a relationship that's illegal. And so a severance clauses can't be used to create a legal relationship out of something that's intended and that the purpose is to create an illegal one. Worth Alliance made the same request to Judge Kuhnhauer, and he, again, found that the entire relationship between the parties is what is in contravention of law, dismissed the case, summary judgment, denied even oral argument on the point. We have the OCA case, which builds on Judge Kuhnhauer's decision and reaches the same conclusion. We don't have really any contrary authority. Fay Hill would next like us to accept the fact that somehow the parole evidence rules could save his contract. He doesn't tell us what parts he wants to save. He never does. We know down below at the trial court level he's bringing a claim for breach of contract, but we don't know what parts of the contract he's attempting to enforce. But nonetheless, he thinks that the, or Thayhild argues that the parole evidence rule could be used to delete provisions that the court finds offensive, and that's just not how the parole evidence rule works. And even after Byrd, as this court's well aware, the parole evidence rule can't be used to delete portions of a contract in that manner. The request we're making, therefore, is for the Court of Appeals to reverse and remand Judge Urich's decision with instructions to dismiss, to rule that the service agreement prepared by Thayhild is illegal as a matter of law.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Doug Roberts, and I represent the respondent, Thayhild Lead. There's one undisputed fact here. The parties defined mutual intent was to have a legal contract. In the opening recital, paragraph 2.5, paragraph 3.4, paragraph 7.5, paragraph 8.2, paragraph 12.16, and then specifically in 11.1, this contract goes back and forth to say nothing here shall be illegal. Thayhild will not be involved in the dental practice of dentistry. You have to ask, why is that included? It's because the courts of the state of Washington, and I believe throughout the country, have struggled with defining the practice of dentistry. As the dissent said in the Boren case, the legislature can license a person to practice law, but they can't define dentistry when it's not practicing dentistry. So here we have the clear intent of the parties to say we want an independent contractor relationship that's legal, and here's how we're going to do it. So the purpose or the duty of this court is to look at the party's intent, harmonize the section, and fulfill the party's intent to make this contract legal. Lee is before you asking the opposite. Violate that clear intent. Declare it all illegal, not because anything untoward happened, and not because any of the factors that were cited in appellant's brief actually occurred. It's because he didn't want to pay on the contract. If we look to the contract on its face, it is valid. As we know, courts have struggled with it, and we note the cases all say it depends upon the facts. But here, none of the incident that is identified in any of the previous case law actually happened and aren't provided for in the contract. There's mention of the sharing profits. That's incorrect. Here there is no sharing of profits. There's a revenue production fee. As the production goes up, the fee goes up with a cap. There's not a share of the profits. There's a cap on the maximum production fee. Also, there's no ownership of any property by the service company. It's simply an independent contract. Further, there is not that excessive control that was seen in Angst, where they were collecting all the money, collecting all the reimbursables. Also, they wrote all the checks and distributed all the money. That didn't happen here. And in fact, we have the policy board. Now, what was never came up by Dr. Lee is, if the policy board doesn't agree, Lee is not prohibited from acting. So if the policy board can't decide upon what color the stationery is, who owns the stationery? The dental practice can go ahead. Also, there's not the non-compete. That was one thing both the bankruptcy court and OAC and the Angst court thought was violative. It's where it's involuntary servitude, where the doctor has to keep working for the company. There is no non-compete here. There is a non-compete paragraph, and all that does is provide that the dentist cannot use the dental practice management information. In fact, the dentist here, all he has to do is find under 7.5Bs, find a replacement dentist. He can sell the provider to the replacement dentist, and FAHELB gets nothing, and then go right across the street and compete. What we have here is the problem of two parties wanting to form a valid service agreement, an independent contract agreement, but knowing the status of the law is at best undefined. We can see OAC had two factors. Does the agreement grant power to influence the practice of dentistry, and is there share of profits? It's never been alleged here that there was any influence that affected dentistry in any manner whatsoever. It's not even been alleged. Before this court, this is facially valid on its face. It does not give the influence to affect the practice of dentistry in any way, nor is there any ownership, nor is there the share of the profits. The next step is, if the court believes one section or another could be violative, because it only could be violative, none of these ever happen. When references made to potential ownership, potential leases, all the other potentials, none of it happened. The parties anticipated that. They knew that this was an unsettled area of the law, so they identified paragraph 8.2.4. If there's an adverse ruling by the court that affects either party to materially perform under the agreement, they take that adverse ruling, then they have to agree upon how to rewrite the agreement so it is legal and in conformance with that adverse ruling. If this court believes, and for the state of Washington, that a share of profits is per se illegal, then you have to say any sharing of profits is per se illegal. Go to 8.2. If it is the ownership of assets or even the potential ownership of assets, then the courts have to decide that's it. Then the adverse ruling comes back. The parties have to agree. What happens if the parties can't agree? The parties foresaw this. This is their deep intent to keep it legal. If they can't agree, they have to go to arbitration. The arbitrator can then define. And then the arbitrator has the ability to rewrite the agreement for the parties or decide if the agreement is so violative it cannot comply with the adverse ruling or the administrative ruling, and then terminate the agreement pursuant to the terms of the termination. Why is Dr. Lee not wanting to follow that? That's the intent of the parties. He's before you to say, oh, just void the whole thing. Just terminate it so I'm not do anything. He wants that because he doesn't want to pay the just results that Mr. Thahel earned. What results? In less than a month and a half, production went from $54,000 to over $93,000. In less than a month and a half. That's real money. That's real value. Unlike Bourne and Gorbadian, where they said the share of profits, it had no relationship to the lease or the sales contract. Here, the production revenue was explanatory. It's because he produced the efficiency of the dental practice for which there should be recognition and payment.
He could have done the same as a consultant under a contract that had him paid appropriately but gave him nowhere near the control that he built into the agreement.
Yes, you're right. The parties have the right to contract under the Constitution in the manner that they want. Mr. Thahel could have said, I'll just be a consultant. And that, in effect, is what an independent contractor here is. I'm an independent contractor. I step forward with the practice. But to make the efficiencies work, there are certain agreements we have to undertake to provide for the practice management operations. One was he had to computerize all the accounting, computerize the payroll, computerize the scheduling. all those things that are standard, just back office, how do you run the machine?
Yeah, but normally if you're the independent consultant, then the dentist owns all of those things and is at risk if he terminates you.
Correct.
In this case, your client is the one that has the continuing business. If the dentist wants to go away, he's got to find a new business.
And to that, right, your extent, to the matter that the value of the dental practice management company increased the value of the company, that becomes part of the company. That's why the provisions provided that if it's sold, since he's given all that value to the company, that's when the service company gets the money back.
So he's getting equity value in the company.
He's only getting value in the increased, he's only receiving remuneration for the increased value of the company because this independent contractor has given it the value. It owns the dental practice management information, subject to the non-compete that they can't take it elsewhere. So I think what's important here is it's undisputed the intent of Dr. Lee is to void the contract, which is contrary to the in-depth intent of this agreement. And I quote, courts will not allow themselves to be used for the purpose of conferring benefits upon litigants who plead the illegality of a contract into which they entered, where there has been part performance of the contract and when the relative positions of the contracting parties have changed. That's exactly what is happening here. Mr. Thaheld gave up increased teaching capacity at Western Washington University. He stopped his other business practices. He didn't even get paid what he was the base service fee that he was supposed to get to increase the value of this company. And then Dr. Lee defines, as it's shown in the record, I can't pay you, and terminates. Don't allow this court to be used by a thief. What should happen is the trial court should be affirmed that it's not facially invalid, goes back to the trial court, and actually have a trial on the merits, determine what is the appropriate portion of the contract that's illegal, or could be illegal, and then if that is the case, then refer to mediation and arbitration to rewrite the contract as the parties intended to do. Keep this contract legal. Thank you very much.
Well, if our courts have struggled with this issue, it's pretty hard to read that in the decisions of the court. Judge Kuhnauer had no problem dismissing an Orth Alliance contract on summary judgment without even granting oral argument. There's been no changes in the statute. And again, we have a document that is tip to tail. Every page, we could pick a page at random. The entire design of the document is to give Thaheld operational control of the practice and a direct financial stake. He does get an equity interest in the company. If Dr. Lee leaves for any reason, it forces a sale according to the contract that would entitle him to 50% of equity. He gets monthly a percentage of the dental production. This is exactly what the statute is not only designed to prevent, but what the courts have enforced it to prevent. Professionals should control their professional corporations. Mr. Thaheld's argument that we should enforce it or we should save this contract because really most of it is meaningless anyway is kind of an odd argument. And the point in Washington is if you have a contract that establishes a legal relationship, it's as if no contract happened. It's void from the beginning. It doesn't matter the party's good faith. It doesn't matter anything else. Mr. Thaheld has other claims in the trial court below. He has a claim to enforce this contract, but he has other claims to address his other perceived wrongs in the relationship. But this agreement, as a matter of law, needs to go.
Thank you. We'll conclude the court's business this morning.
All rise.
You're
not better. Okay. Lawyers in recess.